Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk, and welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope we find you in the best of health, wealth, and happiness, and that everybody is doing well, and that everything that you're looking for in life is working for you and coming true. Today, Blog Talk, we're going to talk about the fact that it is February. All right? Now, it's not the beginning of February, but it's February. And February in the United States is Black History Month. So today, we're going to touch on the subject of Black History Month, and we're going to kind of not really test you, but we're going to find out, what do you know about Black history? You know, what level of knowledge do you have? What do you know about your culture? Or what do you know about the culture that's part of the history of this United States? So let me ask you a couple of questions. We're going to talk about a couple of different subjects. We're going to touch on quite a few things. And hopefully it'll be informative and informational for all of those people that, again, are going to listen and bless us with your presence today. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very dynamic and interesting world. And in this world, there's all types of different things that have happened, that have gone on, and different cultures have helped to grow, especially the United States, into what it is today. And each of these cultures, each of these bodies of people, each of these groups of individuals have given something, they've donated something, they've shared something with the world at hand to help it to become, again, what it is. And the African American culture is one of those groups that has given a lot and has shared a lot with many as time has gone on. And all the things that they've shared have helped to grow this United States into the United States that it is. So they've played a very, very positive and very involved part in the history of the world as it is, or the United States. The interesting thing is that most people don't really know about that history, including some African Americans. There are a ton of African Americans that really don't know their history. There's a ton of Americans that don't know their history. And I can't say that it's the fault of any one group in the sense of, you know, African Americans or people of color not knowing their history. Part of it was that it just was not shared. It was not taught to them. It was not something that was considered important. In some cases, it was purposely deleted, removed from the history books. So since that information was removed from the history books, you know, people were only given certain information. And in some cases, the information that was given such a cursory mention in it that a lot of people didn't think. A lot of people that are of African American descent, as they were growing up, didn't truly believe that they even played a part, a real part, in American history, other than the fact of, you know, being brought over here on slave or being brought to the United States in slave ships and things along that nature. But again, the African American culture is a very rich culture in the sense that there were a lot of things that happened. You know, African Americans were very key in helping to build the railroads in the United States. You know, a lot of people don't understand that the first African Americans that were brought over here were not brought over here in slavery. They were brought over here in what would be called, what is it, indentured service. So these are people that were brought over basically as labor, but it was labor where, since they didn't have the funds to pay for their passage, part of the agreement for them to be transported or to be brought to the new land was that they had to basically basically vow to give a certain amount of time, a certain period of time of their lives back to the people who paid for their way here to the United States. So indentured service. So basically, again, it was kind of like an agreement. You know, you would be somebody's maid, somebody's cook, somebody's chauffeur, so to speak, even though, of course, they didn't drive back then, until you could pay them back for the cost of your transportation. You know, for some people, they did it because they had families and things like that. So for a certain amount of, I guess you'd say, reimbursement, you know, they would basically trade their lives to get money so that they could take care of their families or they could take care of certain debts. In some cases, it was a little bit of hook and crook, too. But all of these things were done with the mindset that, you know, you would pay back this debt. You would pay back this amount of money to the loan or the lender that presented it to you. So, again, the history is very vast, and unfortunately it got lost. Now, when the slavery times came, of course, there was a couple of things that happened that were even really horrendous. One of the things is that a lot of the slaves that were brought over lost their name. They lost their history. They lost something that they can never get back, because that's something that has been lost in the guiles of time. A lot lost their last names. And the reason they lost their last names is because of the way that they were brought over here. They were brought over here, like I said, in slave ships. Some of them were conquered, you know, not countries, but tribes, and they were sold into slavery. And unfortunately, another sad part about it is that a lot of the slaves that were sold were actually sold by other African Americans to the traders, and it became big money. And slave trading was not only done in the United States, it was done in other countries too. It's just that in several other countries, the freedom of people of we'll say, color, actually happened at a sooner date. Well, as we know, you know, historically, slaves are known to have come over here on the slave ships, and they went through some really horrendous and treacherous conditions because they were bought and sold like cattle. They were traded like property. And millions upon millions upon millions of African Americans died on those slave ships. The last time that I actually checked, the estimate was more horrendous than the Holocaust. In the Holocaust, I believe there were 3 million Jews that were killed during the Holocaust. However, during the slave trade periods, it's an estimated that there were 300 million. Again, 300 million African Americans Africans and African Americans that died just on the slave trips, which far exceeds the amount of, again, people of the Jewish descent, and I'm not downplaying what happened to them, but it definitely pales in comparison to the number of African Americans who died on the slave ships. Yet, in the United States, is there a monument, is there a museum, is there a place that honors the African American slaves? Actually, there is not. Now, there is an African American museum. That African American museum is in Washington, D.C. The funny thing is that African American museum in Washington, D.C. is not where the majority of the monuments are. The majority of the museums are in Washington, D.C. The Black Museum is actually, like I said, it's in Washington, D.C., but it's nowhere near. It's actually out on, I believe it's 11th or 12th and U Street is where the actual African American Museum is. And out there, there's a beautiful monument. And right now I'm quoting T.C. Cosley. There's a beautiful monument out there that honors, a bronze monument that honors the Buffalo Soldiers, which, again, played a very key part in the history of the United States. But the fact that there's not a monument in the actual strip is very interesting. Now, of course, real estate's very, very expensive, but either way, there is one, and it is in the Washington, D.C. area, and if you ever get a chance, please feel free to visit it, and especially if you live in the Washington, D.C. metro area, because many people have never seen it. Okay, the next little bit of information I'd like to talk about is something. I'm originally from the North, and in the North, there is a time frame that a lot of people in the South know about, but a lot of people in the South don't. I've actually tested it. And the phrase is called Juneteenth. I want you to think about that for a second. I know it sounds like a really weird kind of a word, but it's actually real. And it's a time frame, and it's a very important time frame in the African-American history, Juneteenth. But anyway, before we get to Juneteenth, here's a good question. Did the Emancipation Proclamation, which was signed by Abraham Lincoln, did that free the slaves? Well, technically, the Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves. The Emancipation Proclamation did not give you your freedom. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed, and it was put out there. But within the Constitution, there are basically three amendments that affect the African-American community. And the Emancipation Proclamation, like I said, was not the thing that freed the slaves. Now, with that said, going back to something called Juneteenth, back in June 19th, 1865, there is a date, and African Americans that know it call it Juneteenth. The reason that they call it Juneteenth and the reason that it is a celebration is because in America, most people celebrate the 4th of July as their day of independence. However, for African Americans, their day of independence was not in 1776, okay? Their day of actual independence was actually considered to be June 19, 1865. That's the celebration of the liberation of black African American slaves in Texas. And again, that was on June 19th. When the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, it was given to different people to spread this information out to the world, to free all of these slaves. Well, on June 19, 1965, a Union general, General Gordon Gaither, rode into Galveston, Texas, to inform the inhabitants of the Civil War. And 2 months earlier, 2.5 years after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, General Greer, I believe that was his name, General Granier was given General Order Number 3, and finally the slaves were freed. That was the last 250,000 slaves that were in bondage and due to minimal Union presence in the region and had been essential in unaffecting by Lincoln's efforts on June 19th. So, in actuality, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863. Well, in 1863, it still took 2 years, actually 2 years and 2 months, before the information actually got to as far as Texas. And that's why African Americans' Day of Independence is actually considered Juneteenth. Remember, back in those days, we didn't have telephones. We didn't have internet. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have text message marketing or ISIG. We didn't have all of these other entities to get information out. There was no TV. So that means that the information had to get out in other ways. Well, to be honest, the actual getting of the information was stalled on purpose. Why? Because there was a harvest that needed to take place. There were crops. There was cotton that needed to be picked, things along that nature. So the sharing of the information about the Emancipation Proclamation was slow to get out. But again, we were also talking about what, so now we know what Juneteenth is, but we were also talking about the amendments that actually did free the slaves. It was the 13th, 14th, and 15th amendments that are very important in African American history. And the reason for that is the 13th Amendment, which was signed in 1865, is what abolished slavery. So that ratification was signed in 1865. And that, again, abolished slavery in the United States. And then citizenship wasn't given to the African Americans until the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment was actually signed in 1868. So that gave us the civilian rights at that time. And then the 15th Amendment gave races the right to vote. Now, even though the races were given the right to vote, women were still not given the right to vote. And women, African-American women, or women in general, fought for their right to vote later on in time. It's a very key thing that a lot of us believe that it was the Emancipation Proclamation that gave us that right, but it didn't. Here's another little tidbit of information that most people may not be aware of. John Wilkes Booth. John Wilkes Booth is the person that killed Abraham Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth, as many people know, was an actor, and he was considered a famous actor and came from a family of famous actors. John Wilkes Booth had not been acting around the time because he had had a sickness, and that sickness had caused him to be out of the theater. In that time that John Wilkes Booth was sick, that was when he decided that he was going to, at first, kidnap Abraham Lincoln because he felt that Abraham Lincoln was a traitor to his country. So John Wilkes Booth had created a plan to kidnap Lincoln. Well, his plan failed. So in frustration, John Wilkes Booth decided that he was going to kill Abraham Lincoln. Well, Abraham Lincoln was a person that loved theater. Okay? So since he loved theater, he used to go to different plays. And the different plays that he would go to, you know, of course, you'd see actors. And like I was saying, John Wilkes Booth was actually a famous actor of his time. He was actually considered one of the best actors of his time and vocal supporters of, and he was also a vocal supporter of the South during the Civil War. And again, was the assassinator of Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth was born in 1838 in Bel Air, Maryland, and he died in April 26, 1865, in Port Royal, Virginia. But anyway, during the time that John Wilkes Booth lived, he was an actor and a very famous actor, and he's most notoriously known for killing, again, Abraham Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth actually was a sympathizer with the South. And as a sympathizer with the South, he was very dislikeful of some of Lincoln's decisions and some of the things that Lincoln did. So he pursued or decided that he was going to kill Lincoln. When he actually snuck into the theater to kill Lincoln, to kill Abraham Lincoln, he snuck into the theater. And once he got into the theater, he snuck upstairs. Again, didn't really have to sneak. Why? Because everybody knew Mr. Booth as a famous actor, and nobody suspected him of doing anything that would have been considered heinous. But he snuck into the theater, and then after he got into the theater, got upstairs. Once he got upstairs, he then positioned himself inside the doorway where the president was, and he shot him. He shot him in the Lincoln... Excuse me, yes. He shot him in the theater and killed him. And killed him dead. On his escape, John Wilkes Booth jumped from the stage. And when he jumped from the stage at the Ford Theater, he broke his leg. But he still made his escape. He had two people that helped him through his escape. And actually, one of the people that helped him to escape actually was an African American. But anyway, John Wilkes Booth later on, some days later, was actually caught. And they don't know whether he killed himself or whether he was killed in fire, but he had decided that he wasn't going to be taken alive. And the weird thing about it is John Wilkes Booth, when he jumped from the stage, he shouted, you know, in Latin, that the South will be avenged, or the South is avenged. And Lincoln again died the next morning. When Booth ran, like I said, he jumped from the stage, broke his leg, but he made his escape. And he then forced medical attention from another gentleman, a doctor by the name of Samuel Mudd, actually treated Lincoln for his injuries. I mean, not Lincoln, treated Booth for his injuries. Later on, a few days later, Booth was actually discovered, found, and like I said, either killed or took his own life as he hid in a barn. But anyway, there's other parts of history that are also very important. One is the history of the black military. The United States military, it wasn't until 1866 that African Americans were let into the United States military. That first group of African Americans that were actually allowed into the military was a segregated military. They were the Buffalo Soldiers. They were the 9th and 10th Cavalry. At the time, this was a peacetime group that was actually created to help to regulate the areas in general. We're not going to be able to touch on this in depth, but please look in your history books and get more up-to-date history. But the African Americans that actually did this were considered the Buffalo Soldiers. They were given the Buffalo Soldiers, the name the Buffalo Soldiers, by the Plains Indians. The Plains Indians gave the African Americans the name Buffalo Soldiers because of the fact that they wore, you know, wool clothes, and they also wore the hides of buffaloes to keep themselves warm. This was, again, a segregated military, and it was a military that has been forgotten, but they ran more cable than the Postal Service. They did more telegraph wire than anybody else. This was a group of men and women that really did some phenomenal things. Even though African Americans were now accepted into the military, they were still not basically allowed to hold ranks as in officers. So the officers that actually held rank within these services were Caucasian. And the first actual African American ever become a officer in the United States military was a gentleman by the name of Henry O. Flipper. Henry O. Flipper was actually the first African American to ever graduate from West Point. I would also suggest that you guys look into that history and learn more about Mr. Flipper, who was a very intelligent individual. Also, in the Buffalo Soldiers, the first woman to ever become a member of the military was a lady by the name of Cathay Williams. Cathay Williams actually posed as a man and actually served 2 years in the United States military before she was basically found out because of medical reasons, and they discovered that she was a woman. Now, mind you, this was an African-American woman who could probably shoot better and ride better than most men, white or black. So this was a very interesting woman, even though her whole goal fool anybody, it was to basically attain a certain level of freedom, because you were given a certain level of freedom as a person of the military. Another great group, and this was one that my grandfather belonged to, was the 92nd Division. The 92nd Division of the U.S. Army was another very proud and very historic group of African Americans who took the name Buffalo Soldiers during World War II and did some really phenomenal and amazing things with that. They showed great courage, great valor. Here's another thing that I think a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand that African Americans have fought in every war in the United States, basically since the inception of the United States, even though they were not recognized, nor in most cases had to fight in those wars. Did they do this? They did this because they wanted their freedom, and they wanted to show that they had the right to be considered men and women in this United States. So in their goal to show that they were worthy to become citizens, that they were worthy to have rights, many African Americans gave their lives. In the Civil War alone, more African Americans passed away in the Civil War than they did any other minority or even Caucasians. So more African Americans died in the Civil War than anybody else. Why? Because they were fighting for freedom. They were fighting for the freedom to have freedom. They were fighting for the freedom to have choice, to be able to be considered men and women. So again, ladies and gentlemen, we just briefly touched on African American history, but please understand that it is a rich history, and it is a rich history indeed. You know, Henry L. Flipper, who I was talking about earlier, he actually served in the United States military. He was born on March 21st, 1856, and he was born in Thomasville, Georgia, and he died on May 3rd, 1940, at the age of 84. He served in the military from 1877 to 1882. And the only reason that he actually was out of the military is because he was basically set up. And he was set up for supposedly stealing funds. He was, of course, exonerated from that charge, but then was still forced out of the military for conduct unbecoming of an officer because at the time, one, he was teaching a Caucasian woman how to ride horses, and two, because he knew that the charges were trumped up, he didn't tell the full truth until he was able to get himself exonerated. So later for that, he was basically out-processed or let go from the military for conduct unbecoming of an officer. Like I said, as you learn the history of the 9th and 10th Cavalry, you know, and the Buffalo Soldiers that came there and their insignia that they wore proudly, of the end of, you know, the military service as a whole, or African Americans being segregated in the military, not the end of the military as a whole. As we learn about Cathay Williams, as we learn about the Emancipation Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln, the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment, John Wilkes Booth and his part in history, which is one that is very sad, the 92nd Buffalo Soldier Infantry Division that fought in World War II, and again, fought very validly and did some really incredible things. And the overall bio of not only the African Americans that have done great things like Rosa Parks. Yes, Rosa Parks just refused to get up from the bus because she was tired. However, her actions stimulated a movement, and that movement was taken up by a gentleman by the name of Martin Luther King. And through Martin Luther King and the other people that helped him's efforts, you know, African Americans experienced the freedom, a lot of times the freedom that they take for granted that they experience to this day. We're talking about other great men and great leaders that have done phenomenal things for the African American community as a whole and should be acknowledged. And when I say that, I'm talking about people like Malcolm X. I'm talking about people that gave their lives for a belief, for a particular reason, not for any glory for themselves, but for the betterment of the whole. Again, you may not agree with all of the individual's politics. However, you cannot down the men or the women that have given their lives, their time, their hearts, and their souls to help African Americans and other cultures, because not just African Americans have benefited from some of the contributions that have been made by African Americans. African Americans have actually built the great nation that we live in. African Americans need to embrace their history and need to understand that that history is one that is great and vast. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it goes pretty deep, and it doesn't just go deep in the United States. It goes deep all over the world. Africans built the pyramids. Africans were great architects, great scientists, great contributors to the world as a whole. And they need to, or we all need to acknowledge the fact that there has been greatness that have come from many different cultures throughout the world, and that if we could all just learn to live together as one, this would be a beautiful place. The evolution of man is a choice that's given to man, and it's an opportunity that's presented to man. We must take that opportunity and embrace it. We must grasp it with our hearts and our souls and know that we are the sons and daughters of kings and queens. We all possess greatness within us, and all we have to do is step forward and live that greatness and be that person we need to be and be that one that we need to be and do those things that are going to shine and be a shining monument, not only to those who came before us, but to those who come, and be the example that we were meant to be. So with that said, Blog Talk, we're going to end my little ramble on African-American history and what do you know. I already know that most people do not know that history that I just shared, and I only shared a microcosm of the amount of information and knowledge that's out there. I would suggest that everyone pick up a book, pick up a videotape, pick up a book on tape, pick up a CD, whatever it is that you need to pick up so that you can learn about the great history of all cultures, not just the African-American culture. But for all that are African-American, you need to embrace your own, and you need to embrace yourself. But remember something, too. You can't love or respect anybody else until you love and respect yourself. Thank you very much, Blog Talk. Thank you for listening. And this is Zurian of The Zurian Show. Have a great and wonderful day, life, and be all the things that you were meant to be. Because, again, like I said, you were all born of kings, queens, and most of us don't act like we were born of anything, especially anything worth anything. So let's change that. Let's be a shining example to the world, and let's stop taking from it and start becoming givers of our world. Let's start doing the things that we need to do so that we can become the thing that we're supposed to become. Thank you, Blog Talk. Thank you for listening. And as always, I am honored that you would allow me to spend some time with you. Take care.